Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Michael Seifert joins us from Public Square, publicsquare.com. Check it out, publicsquare.com, as we talk about the latest with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, what is happening with corporate America. And then John Eastman, American patriot who is being targeted and potentially disbarred for representing President Donald Trump. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast, open up your podcast application, and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with our organization at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Joining us now is a great friend of mine, Michael Seifert. He is running Public Square. You guys should all check out Public Square. Michael, just out of the gate, give us an update on Public Square. Remind people the website. It's really growing beautifully. The application's doing great. How are things going at America's Marketplace?
It is booming, Charlie. It's good to see you. Public Square is growing at a rapid pace, which is testament to the fact that Americans are ready to support Main Street again. While globalism is collapsing, there is a need more than ever to support our American economy and the businesses that you can find in your local community that want to sell products and services to you without lecturing you about these hyper-progressive political issues. If you want to spend your money with a marketplace and businesses associated with that marketplace that love the country, the Constitution, and the classic traditional American family values that that wonderful document protects, Public Square is really the only marketplace where you can do that. And that's why it's grown so much. To the point now, Charlie, that Public Square actually is able to own multiple companies underneath the marketplace. We started the world's fastest growing diaper brand in EveryLife. It is also the only pro-life, pro-family diaper brand in the country. We actually just acquired a company recently that provides financial products for the gun industry, another completely unaddressed industry here in the United States from the financial institutions. So business is booming. We couldn't be more grateful. And it's all due to our incredible consumers and business community.
It's amazing. And EveryLife is just a really terrific product. I've heard wonderful things about it. And I think everyone in this audience, if you're pro-life, you have a moral obligation to buy EveryLife. And here's the thing. Let's just say, okay, you know, Charlie, my kids are all grown up. I don't have grandkids yet. Okay, go buy that and go to your church and donate it. They all have ministries, right, where they give... Talk about that, Michael. EveryLife is the only pro-life diaper brand. And I want to just reiterate this. The big diaper brands are all pro-massacring children. It's not exactly good for business.
It's the wildest thing I've ever witnessed, Charlie. Set aside the moral total atrocity of the issue. Even if you just look economically, how does it make any sense to advocate for the termination of your customer base? It shows how wacky our world has gotten when some of the leading diaper brands in our country are actually saying, and I quote, with a brand like Coterie, "We feel lost without abortion access as a team after the overturning of Roe v. Wade," or when companies like Honest have actually said that they want to put their money where their mouth is and make sure that they are funding their employees' abortions. You realize that our culture has become so distorted. That's why EveryLife, we're wanting to bring a really hopeful and positive message that every life is a miracle worth protecting from conception all the way throughout life. And Charlie, you mentioned the donation factor. This is one of the pieces of the business that's most fulfilling and rewarding. While obviously sales are booming and it's the fastest growing diaper company in the world now, in Q1 alone, and the end of the first quarter is still 3 days away, we have already donated over 550,000 diapers this quarter alone. So it's been an amazing journey. And the brand's only 9 months old, no pun intended. So we're excited to continue growing.
Yeah, I have an idea for you, which is that on the website, there should be a portal where if people want to buy them and just send them to a pro-life ministry or a church, that could be done. We'll talk offline about that. So, all right, let's get into this story here, Michael. And again, everyone check out publicsquare.com, Every Life. The Chamber of Commerce, which used to be pro-business, is back in the news. Walk us through the story here.
Well, Breitbart broke a story this week that I thought was interesting on their website. They actually uncovered tax documents from the Tides Foundation. The Tides Foundation is one of the most left-leaning activist groups in the country, and they are funded majority by George Soros and his associated family members. So the Tides Foundation has taken in millions of dollars in donations from George Soros and his family members over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. Where have they turned around and invested that money? Into the United States Chamber of Commerce. In the last 5 years alone, the Tides Foundation, a political pawn organization funded by the George Soros family, has contributed $12 million to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. So quick pause here. The Chamber of Commerce for decades now has said that they are about the small business community. They are about the safety and security and stability of the American small business's ability to thrive. And yet they have taken gross amounts of funding from George Soros and his affiliated organizations. They have since then taken a far left turn, embracing open borders policies, illegal immigration flooding into our country, corrupting our streets, crooked politicians in cities like Los Angeles at the district attorney level that want to actually criminalize small businesses like they did during the COVID season while letting murderers run free on their streets. How on earth do these sorts of actions empower the small business community? Short answer is they don't. And for anybody that says, well, they just took money from the George Soros family, that doesn't mean that they've lost their way simply because of who their donor base is. Charlie, you know that the Tides Foundation through George Soros is absolutely swaying the direction of the Chamber of Commerce. They rely on donor money. Their revenue has dwindled. In fact, from 2021 to 2022, the Chamber of Commerce saw a decrease in revenue of over 42%. So they're relying on their donors more than ever. By the way, they pay their salary, the CEO of Chamber of Commerce, they pay her salary over $6 million a year right now. So the CEO is taking in $6 million. Donors that are far left are flooding their organization through entities like the Tides Foundation, and they are using that money to do the political bidding of the far left in the United States. This organization, as corrupt as it can be, they no longer deserve the title of the protector of the American Main Street.
Yeah. So Michael, just talk about the history of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, though, and just how this detour occurred. And it's just remarkable because for years, everyday Americans would say, okay, you know, the U.S. Chamber represents Main Street, was this a recent phenomenon? Was this a long time coming? I think Donahue passed away a couple years ago, who was the old leader of the Chamber of Commerce for a while. Is it new leadership? Is this the trend that's been happening a while? Your thoughts?
Well, it's certainly new leadership. Obviously, as we just mentioned, their current CEO and president has sought to simply fill their own pockets instead of supporting the actual initiatives that they're supposed to be driving on behalf of the American small business community. But this decline really happened in alignment with the embrace of globalism. So, you know, in the late 20th century, we saw a massive move toward globalist tendencies, a desire to sell out the American Main Street on the altars of cheap convenience and global supply chains. The major financial institutions or corporate behemoths that backed that move so that they could actually refine their profit margins were also the donors to entities like the Chamber of Commerce. And so they wanted to maintain this facade that they supported the American Main Street and the small business community, while also making sure that their donor class that was largely embracing cheap foreign labor was kept happy. Those two things are fundamentally at odds with one another. They cannot coexist. And so if your priority is appeasing your donor class that's more interested in supporting supply chains built on slave labor in China, an adversary of our country, rather than supporting the mom and pop shop, you're going to find yourself becoming at best a double agent and at worst a just total facade and phony of what you were supposed to be in your original charter. Now, you know, we obviously see this exacerbated with two issues. They really took a far left turn in practicality with the COVID situation where government came and actually imposed forceful mandates upon small businesses while giving total leeway to entities like Walmart. And then we also saw it, obviously, in the recent immigration debate. Biden, in his State of the Union just a month ago, actually gave credit to the Chamber of Commerce for backing this atrocious immigration bill. And he paraded it as a sign of bipartisanship when that bill was anything but bipartisan. We see that it is tilted toward far left values. They are taking the cloak off. And in the last 3-4 years, we have seen a total degrading of anything they were originally supposed to be about. So it's sort of like it happened gradually and then suddenly, quietly, and then very much out in the open.
That
but
is,
it all started with the embrace of globalism.
That is Ernest Hemingway. Gradually, then suddenly. Today, we're diving into a topic that's more relevant than ever. Online integrity. We live in a digital age where technology has become an integral part of our daily lives. From smartphones to laptops, the internet offers incredible opportunities for connection and growth. But with these opportunities also come risks that can compromise our values, integrity, and faith. Pornography is almost everywhere. And I could tell you Covenant Eyes works. I use it and you should too. In fact, I used Covenant Eyes before they ever wanted to partner with us on this podcast, which is why I'm so thrilled to share with you this special offer today. Look, it's a powerful tool. It's changing the game when it comes to helping men and women steer clear of porn and providing online accountability. If you're watching porn, stop watching porn. There's no excuse for it. Stop justifying it. Stop trying to rationalize it. Covenant Eyes isn't just another software. It's a shield for your digital life, helping you navigate the internet with confidence and in God-honoring ways. It's been helpful to me in my life, and I want you to find the same peace of mind and freedom. So what exactly does Covenant Eyes do? Well, it offers a range of features designed to protect you and your loved ones from harmful online content. From customizable filters to real-time monitoring, what sets Covenant Eyes apart is its emphasis on accountability. With Covenant Eyes, you can partner with trusted family and friends to receive regular reports of your internet activity, creating a culture of transparency and support. Whether you're a parent looking to protect your kids or an individual committed to living with integrity and porn-free, Covenant Eyes is the solution you've been searching for. It's not just software. It's a commitment to upholding your values and honoring your faith in every area of your life. So if you're ready to take the next step in safeguarding your digital life, I encourage you to check out our friends at Covenant Eyes today. That is covenanteyes.com/Charlie. Again, that is covenanteyes.com/Charlie for your free 30 days. Do it today. covenanteyes.com/Charlie. It could save your online activity from the poison of pornography. covenanteyes.com/Charlie. Hey, Michael, it really is a brave new world where we have the everyday small business that is scrapping for survival with hyperinflation. And then this oligarchy that does not represent the best interests of the American worker or the American consumer. I know that you guys might be doing this in some way, but is there an effort to create a new chamber of commerce? In some way, Public Square is like kind of a soft version of that, but there's this huge vector and opening for a representation in DC for legislative priorities for someone that has 5 to 10 employees.
Well, that's exactly right. And the chamber has seen declining membership for years now. And so at their heyday, they claimed they had 3 million members, and it was the largest representative body of the business community in not only the country, but of any country in the world. But that's not the case anymore. In fact, our active membership is larger now than the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's active membership. And so the question that we've asked is what you just asked. Is there a way that we can actually help these businesses network further? Because today, the platform is largely established as an opportunity for the business community to advertise their products and services, either for free or through paid advertising, to a great network of consumers that are values aligned and want to partner with them in trust-based transactions. The next step for us is, how do we connect these businesses not only to the consumers that value what they're doing, but also to each other? Charlie, one of the coolest testimonies we've heard was actually a few months ago, a business in Alabama that provided tabletops and granite countertops and things found another home builder in Ohio on our platform. So two Public Square businesses that both serve other businesses found each other on the platform and created a partnership that they say will last decades. They have absolutely hit it off. We recently connected a great CRM service in the software space with another business who's looking to replace a tool. We're actually launching payments. So we've just announced recently the introduction of PSQ payments so that we could actually serve our business community with other great products and services that are uncancelable in nature. So that's our goal as we shift into this next season. We've built a consumer army to support this business community. Now, how can we actually help the businesses bind together? What the left and the authoritarians in this country, the oligarchy, as you described, fear more than anything is the unification of a frustrated group of business owners with capital to deploy, services to offer, and networking to create. If we can actually bind together with strength and numbers and showcase to the powers that be that we are the majority, they have another thing coming. And that's what we plan to do.
And that sort of consolidation is so long overdue in that kind of representation. So, Michael, I want to ask you, and I have no idea how you're going to answer, do you see the big corporations softening their zealotry, at least outwardly, towards this woke stuff? Do you see any lessons that have been learned because of the boycotts? Or is the wokeism still there? It's just not as advertised.
I think it's definitely the latter. I feel very confident that it's the latter because we thankfully live in the age of social media where any little flub gets exposed on a broad scale. And so while they've tried to hide their wokeism more over the course of the past 3 to 6 months, as they've learned that the embrace of ESG and DEI have very detrimental after effects, these actions are still getting exposed. And Charlie, what I would actually go as far as to say is that while their external presentation of their wokeism might not be as blatant as it was in the Bud Light and Target era of last summer, their internal displays of wokeism and progressive indoctrination of their staff members is worse than I have ever seen by a wide margin.
Give me some examples of that. That's really important. Yeah, you're gonna finish that, but please.
Well, yeah, I'll give you a direct example. We actually had an applicant recently from a major corporate entity in the software space reach out last week and say that their breaking point was that just last month on an all hands, their company's HR department, mind you, this company has over 1,000 employees. This company's HR department actually stated that we should, as employees, get in a habit of utilizing personal pronouns. And if you're struggling adapting to this new progressive environment, when you're at home, practice using pronouns, and I quote, on your pets and your houseplants. So they are wanting to encourage their employees through gender training seminars to practice utilizing pronouns on your house pets and your houseplants.
Definitely not a cult. So Michael, great work. PublicSquare.com. By the way, never use the pronoun stuff. They take over the country through language totalitarianism. It is completely unnecessary. It is this new gender, John Money inspired takeover of our vocabulary. Michael, great work. Thank you so much. Hey, this is Charlie Kirk, and I know a lot of you have been suffering under the Biden economy. Recently, school loan payments have been reinstated, and for many, it's adding thousands to their monthly expenses. My friends, Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, they're amazing. They really helped me through a tough situation recently. They've been excellent. They're ethical. They're just really great people. They're followers of Jesus Christ, and our worldviews are the same. I love them. And so please go to andrewandtodd.com. Interest rates are coming down, and they may be able to lower your overall payment. In fact, one of our team members said, Charlie, is it time to me to own a home? I sat down, I went through the numbers, I said, get in the owner game. Honestly, enough renting. You are burning your money renting. It might be a little bit more to own, but you're building equity. That's money you'll have for the rest of your life. Perhaps a reverse mortgage is a perfect solution. It's about expertise you could trust in times like this. I can't tell you how helpful they've been for me personally. They've just been excellent. Andrew and Todd, I'm honored to call them friends. We hang out when I go to Orange County together. They're really great. So say, Charlie sent me 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. They helped me through a mortgage situation recently that was super complex and moving pieces, and it was really, really tough. And other banks, by the way, wanted nothing to do with it, and they crushed it for me. 10 out of 10. AndrewandTodd.com. So check it out right now. AndrewandTodd.com. Joining us now is John Eastman. I've known John for quite a while. He's an American patriot and a really great man. John, welcome to the program. Give us the latest about this judge, California disbarment. Walk us through it.
Well, after a 10-week trial, what one commentator described as probably the longest and most expensive in bar disciplinary history, the California bar judge issued her 128-page report yesterday recommending that I be disbarred. The result of that recommendation is that within 3 days, my license will be suspended. I will no longer be able to earn a living as an attorney pending my appeal, which we will certainly bring. Almost every page of the opinion is citing government officials making claims that were false. But because the government said the election was the most secure in history or there was no evidence of fraud, anybody that said otherwise was, in this judge's view, making false statements. And so she has upheld 10 of the 11 counts that were brought against me for making false statements in two court actions, even though the courts that were involved not only did not sanction me, but didn't even issue an order to show cause on why any statements were false. This is the California Bar Court kind of taking over a sanctions process from the federal courts itself, including the U.S. Supreme Court. But most of the counts dealt with things I said in public, a speech I gave on the Mall on January 6th, an appearance I did on Steve Bannon, or an article I published. These are about as core protected First Amendment speech as one can imagine. And she just dispensed with the First Amendment, with the back of her hand, in her opinion. So we will fight this with everything we've got, and because it's important. What's going on here is what we call lawfare. It's an attempt by left of activists who initiated the complaint against me to one of the leaders of one of these groups, the 65 Project, has made very clear what their goal is. Not only to disbar all the attorneys who were involved, but to make them so toxic in their communities and their firms that right-wing legal talent will never take on these kind of election challenges again. And it's already metastasized beyond election challenges. It's gone to representing parents who are complaining about what schools are doing with their kids. It's craziness that we're dealing with. This is going to destroy the rule of law and our adversarial system of justice. And that's why I'm standing up to fight it as hard as I am. The judge basically said he should be disbarred because he showed no remorse. Well, I don't show remorse, and I don't bend my knee to when the government is making false claims that the election was perfect and there's nothing to see here. There was a lot to see here, and the more people look at it, the more devastatingly bad it looks. And so that's why we're fighting. This is not George Orwell's 1984, at least not yet, when the government tells us 2 + 2 = 5. Bend the knee and agree with that.
It's not just you have to repeat it, but you must believe it. That is the essence of Orwell's treatise. So I want to
I remind people this is the 75th anniversary of the publication of that book, 1984. He had the argument exactly right. He was about 40 years off on the year. But no, this is what we're dealing with.
It really is. So you mentioned a couple things. Number one, they say that there was this consensus that the election was the most secure ever. In science, this is called a Castro consensus, which is when you silence or stifle or eliminate all opposition, it's not hard to reach a consensus. Famously in Cuba, it was called a Castro consensus. Everyone supports Castro because the ones that don't are in prison or they're disbarred. And so it's not a real consensus. Second, though, I want to just drill into this, John. You're an ethical man. You have a high integrity. You love the country. You're representing a client. And in representing a client, don't you have not just a right, but a duty to offer all options for that client when they are?
I do.
Can you walk us through that, please?
The California Bar ethical rules for attorneys is that you have to zealously advocate your client. And that means putting forward every possible legal argument that has any plausible ground to it. And mine certainly did. The election challenges we brought were well documented. We had sworn affidavits. That's evidence. We had expert opinions. That's evidence supporting everything we said. Some of that stuff may have proved not to be accurate in the end of the day, but that's what court's adversarial system is about. They actually asked me in the bar trial proceedings at one point, said, well, you know, your expert, the government offered its expert and he said your expert didn't know what he was talking about. I said, well, you know, this happens every day in courts. You have competing experts, and the point of a trial is to resolve the competing claims. But I was supposed to apparently just withdraw the case because they offered an expert that disagreed with my expert. And so that's not the way it works in a normally functioning adversarial system of justice. And yet, I mean, I actually said that during the course of the trial. Well, why didn't you back off your case when they had a counter expert that said your guy was wrong? I said, well, I talked to my guy and he said he was right.
Well, but so, hold on a second. I mean, that's like saying that if there was a lawsuit around lobotomies and one expert said that lobotomies work wonderfully and another one says that it's cruel and unusual and creates comatose people, that you're not allowed to try to this. Are we in a place now, John, where if they give you the adjective expert, that you're essentially like a philosopher king, like a demigod over reality?
That's clearly, you know, they actually said, well, this, our guy is from MIT. Your guy's not. I say, well, yeah, but the expert standards, you know, don't require
that
the paper credential.
That is remarkable. Unbelievable.
It was one other example that was really stunning. I had another expert that was blocked from testifying. His name is Joseph Reed. He's a prominent now retired CPA who spent his whole career doing audits of Fortune 500 companies, nationally, internationally recognized. He did a book published in January 23 that reviewed all of the evidence I had before me back in 2020. And his conclusion was that these elections should not have been certified. The judge blocked him from testifying. And one of the reasons was because his report wasn't published until 2023, long after, and therefore I couldn't have relied on it, even though he was looking at the same information and evidence that I had at the time. A little bit later in the trial, they offered a report that by Maricopa County elections clerk, who wasn't even election clerk at the time, but he had commissioned a study, a report that, you know, basically said that their election was perfect. And that was published in September of 2022. And we objected, said, OK, you've already said stuff after the fact, can't get in. And the government lawyer actually said, no, this gets in because it's a government sponsored report. And she let it in. I mean, this is the kind of thing we dealt with for the entire 10 weeks of the trial. And I held my tongue. Rachel Alexander at the Arizona Sun-Times didn't. People should look at her news coverage. She did the most comprehensive day-to-day coverage of this trial of anybody in the country. And she was exposing the utterly disbelief in what was going on. But now we're dealing with the recommendation that says I'm going to be disbarred and we have to fight it with everything we've got. Because if they can take out me for putting in advocating for a client who was unpopular to elites with arguments that were certainly open, but creative. I have no doubt. That's why I was hired. I mean, I'm a constitutional lawyer, and I know the background of the constitutional issues we were addressing. And so I push it. If they can take out me, they can take out anybody they want.
Well,
this is
exactly right, John. I got to interrupt for a sec, and I just want to make sure we plug Give, Send, Go for you. But I want to reiterate this. This is going to chill any lawyer from representing election claims in the future. That's what this is all about. This is a show trial to say we will strip you of your law license if you represent a client who has a constitutional right to ask questions about an election.
Now, that's right. That's right. And they, you know, they've said it publicly that that's what their goal is. And it's working. And what that means is election fraud and illegality in the future will go unchallenged. I mean, the last break on what's been going on we had was lawyer. This is, by the way, this is one of the reasons why Shakespeare writes that famous line about the first thing we do, we kill all the lawyers. It's not because they didn't like lawyers. It's the folks that were trying to take over the government knew that they had to get rid of the lawyers because the lawyers stood in the way of these kind of things. And the lawyers stand in the way of election illegality. It's our duty to try and raise questions about illegality. Because look, our Declaration of Independence is founded on the consent of the governed, our whole government. The consent of the governed is manifested by how we conduct our elections. And if they are not conducted legally and fairly, we are no longer giving our consent. And we cease to be citizens in a self-governing republic. And we become subjects of a tyrannical government.
I agree. John, what is the Give, Send, Go really quick?
GiveSendGo.com/Eastman. People can go there and donate or give prayers or read up on the updates that I post there. It's a wealth of information. And please go and send some money if you can, because we need it.
Debt, it keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is, the system is designed to trap you in debt. Insanely high interest rate credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. There's a new way out of the debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. With Pivotal Debt Solutions, you can cut or even eliminate interest, find programs to write off your balances so you owe less, stop these threatening phone calls, and without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line is they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first to talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can get you out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That is zapmydebt.com. Zapmydebt.com. We're getting all of your emails. We have over 1,000 emails now, and I'm going to read them all the best I can on questions to ask Speaker Johnson. Make sure you tune into the program tomorrow where we're going to air our conversation with Speaker Johnson, and I'm going to walk you through all of it. So we'll air a couple minutes here, walk you through it, a couple minutes here, walk you through it. And so your questions are much appreciated. freedom@charliekirk.com. John Eastman continues with us. John, this seems to be not of covered a story. I put you in the same category of what they're doing with these electors in states across the country, Michigan, Georgia, the same category of they're trying to chill under these novel and bizarre and goofy legal theories. You seem to be fighting this and not capitulating and surrendering. Why is that?
Well, look, I happen to have the expertise to be in a position to fight it. And I have the constitutional fortitude to be able to do it. Look, I've been litigating before the U.S. Supreme Court and studying constitutional issues my entire career. Very few people have the expertise both in law and in the political philosophy of the American founding that I have. And so I'm in a position to be able to fight back, but I'm also strongly interested in making sure that the wonderful free country we inherited from our forebears is something that we can also pass on to our children and grandchildren. I've got one and another on the way, I don't want to leave them a country that has ceased to be free. There's nothing more important. Our founders pledged their lives and their fortunes and their sacred honor to throw off a tyranny from the government of King George III. We are facing something similar. And if we don't stand up, if we don't demonstrate the courage to stand up against this, we will have lost for our kids and grandkids the most precious thing we can give them, which is freedom. So it's worth standing up for whatever they do to me. And they can't lay a hand on me that matters in the long run. Whatever they do to me, I will not bow down to this government tyranny, and I will fight with every ounce of breath that I have. And if they take me out, then somebody else will hopefully pick up the baton, because I hope that my courage in fighting this stuff will become contagious. That's what we need to do. We cannot have any more what Patrick Henry called summer soldiers and sunshine patriots. We need people that are willing to step into the breach.
And unfortunately, we have too many of those right now. John Eastman, repeat the website one more time, how people can support you.
GiveSendGo.com/Eastman. And donations are much appreciated, but also the prayers. My wife and I read them, and they're heartwarming. So please visit that and help us.
John, thank you so much. We're behind you 100%.
Thank you, Charlie. Keep up your good work.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.